Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Fakes to Allen, fakes to Swift, and there's Komet. Cole Komet. Touchdown. 31 yards. What a play.
Time to get back to Bears football. Oh, look at our nice, see, now we got them on the front side. Now we got to get them on the back side. Should we give them hand signals as we're, like, doing the tease for the next segment?
Yeah, whoever's teasing the other person, do the hand signals and get them revved up. They're trained, man. They're ready.
They're polite.
They just need to be known.
They're polite, and that's a good thing for the audience here in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage that we're on. And thanks to, man, look, we have been well-fed.
Villa
has fed us today and the folks that are here.
I think the crowd is also potty trained, which is nice, I think, for them and for their families.
We did lay down paper.
Just in case. Well, there was a mini pig here in the building earlier.
He's
in
not
the day.
Kidding.
And I'm not kidding. Shane had a mini pig here, and he apparently brought it into the studio during the midday show.
Without telling them.
Well, there's that. And there was... there was excrement that left the pig's body and ended up, I believe, on the floor of the studio during the midday show.
Not sure you need to say that while people are eating.
Excrement? I think it's a very polite way to talk about it.
I don't talk about the midday show when people are eating. I would never.
We don't want to nauseate people. I mean, and you're talking about the new iteration of the midday show.
Yeah, the old one.
We used to love the old one.
Did you?
I mean, we didn't have beef directly. It was just implied beef. Why? Did you feel it?
Yeah, no, the pig pooped on the floor. For sure, it did. But it brought its own mat, and it pooped on its mat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that feels better.
Yeah. A batacola? He didn't deserve that.
Well, he did.
No.
He did.
Now we're finding out even more about Shane.
No, I love Maddie. Yeah, but no, the pig did poop on its own mat today.
Wow.
For sure.
All right, so that happened.
Good pig, though, Mr. Ted. Drink Hogsworth bourbon.
How do you know the pig was a good pig? How would you know the difference?
I've seen some bad ones, brother.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
You don't have a long history with pigs.
The bad pigs turn into pork belly. I'll tell you that right now.
I think even the good ones do, frankly.
So after the poop, did Shane go, "That'll do, pig.
That'll do. Patted it on its head like that. That's a lovely movie, by the way.
It is.
It really is.
This hour is being brought to you by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. So
it's coordinator day on a Thursday.
It is coordinator day. Do you want to, which way do you want to go first?
Look, I love this dude too. We need to talk about Shane Waldron. Clearly, that's not the guy that's getting the love in terms of a speaker. But you have fallen for the D coordinator. We're going to get to Shane Waldron because he carried on a topic that amazingly he hasn't yet commented on that we have to get to. But tell people why you're falling for defensive coordinator Eric Washington.
I'm a fairly serious person.
Hold on, let me write that down.
Yeah, put that in your notes. I mean, I like to have fun too, but
you need to schedule it though.
I do often. when it comes to coaches talking about football, this is the meatball in me. I like when people take it seriously. I like hearing coaches talk about the game seriously. And the trend that I've noticed...
I don't know if this partnership's going to work out.
Going into 7 games, Eric Washington takes stuff seriously.
He really does. He talks up every opponent. He's got a little Lou Holtz in him in that way in terms of talking up the opponent. But I don't think Lou was doing it as a bit. I think Eric Washington genuinely gets freaked out at the quality of the NFL and is like, we got work to do, man.
Yeah, I also think that it helps because it makes it so that he can guard against players getting too high on their own supply. This Bears defense has been tremendous. Going back to Montez Sweat being added to this team last year, you look at what they've done in keeping teams under 20 points, under 21 points, at 19 points. Like, they have been dominant. And so I think some of that, not all of them, I'm not going to say that that's the only thing that allows them to do what they do, but it feels like if you have a coordinator that is looking at the opponent, and maybe he sees ghosts, or maybe he's just acting like it. But him being able to be like, hey, we have to take these guys seriously. Look at what they do. Look at how good they are. You have to be better than what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an example of it earlier today. This is Eric Washington talking about the Commanders.
The challenge that we have in front of us this week is goes to the extremes. I mean, we've got a really efficient, potent offense that is a leader in most major statistical categories. They can attack you from multiple directions. They're scoring a lot of points. They're able to run the football. The quarterback has done a nice job of establishing who he is within the framework of this offense. And they're protecting the football. They're protecting the quarterback. This will be a great opportunity for us to not only evaluate our values, but to measure ourselves against a pretty good offense and a really experienced play caller. So we're excited for the challenge. We're looking forward to it. And it's going to be a great day of football for the Chicago Bears defense and the Chicago Bears team. Let Dal take questions.
Man, evaluate our values. Like, he talks about defensive football holistically from, like, what do we want to do and what are we planning to do? Not evaluate ourselves, but evaluate our values and how close are we playing and living to our values as a defense.
But that's what I mean by not allowing the defense to walk in and go, well, yeah, we're one of the best defenses in the NFL, without taking seriously who your opponent is the next week and the challenges. Plus, in this case, you have the added layer of there are two different quarterbacks that you have to prepare for. Now, he said he doesn't think that Cliff is going to change as a play caller because of it, but they're different styles of guys. Logan was just explaining to us the difference between Jaden Daniels and Marcus Mariota. I also think it's interesting, and I wrote it down from Logan, him talking about, and you were on this a couple days ago, when we were talking about the run game. Like, people think Cliff Kingsbury, and they think, oh, he's just throwing the ball side to side. He's going to throw it 75 times. That's how their offense is functioning. That has not been the case.
No, not at all. The Commanders are dominating in the run game. In terms of yards, Brian Robinson's been very good. He's seventh in the NFL in rushing yards, but it's the entire team and what they do. They've been truly great. They're second in rushing yards. They're third in attempts. They've had a lot of leads because they have a great point differential, so they've run a lot then. But it's Jaden, not just on his designed runs, but on his scrambles, and it's the effect. We've seen this with Fields. We used to see it with Vic. When you have a really good running quarterback, we've obviously seen it with Lamar, and you fake a stretch wide, and then he goes the other way, then, you know, all of a sudden, both sides are going to be susceptible because of that kind of thing. But Eric Washington's a really good hire by Matt Eberflus.
Yes, he is.
Really, like, he's smart. He's completely in control. He's as good a hire as Alan Williams was bad a hire. That's how good Eric Washington is.
Pretty bad hire.
Yeah, and he's a great teacher on the defensive line. We'd heard that, and so far that's what we're seeing. And as they're, like, a little trepidatious to make a deal here at the deadline, part of it is because he is getting a lot out of guys like Jervon Dexter and others.
When I hear Logan Paulson say that what Washington does in their run game is they spread you out, and then they're able to hit some of the cracks, like, I start going, okay, well, wait. Does that mean that this is a D-line game? Is this a game where the D-line, or is this the game where TJ Edwards has 17 tackles because he's going to be getting so much action and he's going to be maybe up in the box a little bit more? But then that leads to, whether it's option stuff or play action, are you taking advantage of because of it? Like, it's going to be interesting to see what effect what Kingsbury wants to do has on what the Bears are doing defensively. And it's possible that the Bears won't have two of their better tacklers out there in this game.
Well, with Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, and both those guys are hugely important. So, and both of them did not practice today. We've got Mark Grody at 4 o'clock with all the updates on the injury report and on with a whole bunch of great sound from up there at Halas Hall. But let's hear more from the coordinators. I'm with you on Eric Washington, by the way. But Shane Waldron, there's a couple things we need to get to with Shane Waldron. One is the first 15, which he unbelievably has not commented on until today. That's how long it has been with the Bears on bye and how long it takes before the coordinators talk. But first, something really cool, which is the play that we diagnosed as showing Caleb as having the special, where he fakes the screen left, fakes the screen right, gets Josh Hines Allen is
the, yes, yeah, Hines Allen Hines to Allen. Freeze.
Yeah, gets him to freeze.
He's just stuck. He's like,
so awesome.
What just, where, oh, bleep, even, there's Cole Kmet.
This is the problem with when the coordinators speak. We've turned the page already.
Sorry.
But we haven't heard Shane Waldron on that Cole Kmet touchdown. Here he is on that play and where he got it from today.
I mean, it's a play. I know, Kyle Shanahan did a great job utilizing it against us in Seattle. We utilize it in Seattle. It's been utilized kind of in college football for a good amount of time. So, again, those are just plays when you have some different ones that fit the structure of the defense that might pop up week to week, you know, having a good inventory of things from the past or things from around the league or around college football that might be able to be implemented in that situation. And then, you know, then it all always comes down to the players making it come to life, because, you know, the play design, you know, it's a solid concept right there, but Caleb's ability to and Keenan's ability to start with the, you know, the fake to the left right there, and then the running back with Swift going out to the right, and the, you know, the guard pull, all the action that goes into it, the ball handling from Caleb, and then Cole. So that's just a lot of preparation and precise work that those guys put in walkthrough settings or in individual settings to have a good result on the field.
How often would you say you did that play in Seattle, and what was like the hit rate? Was it always a touchdown? Did you just hit it half the time?
No, Carolina sacked us, scored a touchdown on another one. I know the Niners have used it. There's, again, it goes back into some college stuff there where it came to life at different phases. So, yeah.
I'd have to go back and look, but I think I'd have to go look, because Urban Meyer talks about that's kind of how the spread option was born at Utah, that they were running. He's really – there's one thing that Urban's – well, two. He's good at coaching, and he's good in explaining. Then there's other stuff.
I think dancing. He's really good at dancing.
He is not good at dancing.
He grinds really effectively.
That's a different thing.
How about kicking kickers? How is he at kicking
Excellent
kickers?
At that.
He's a good dancer if he's sitting on a bar stool.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a sitting version of a
letting
grind.
Someone else grind on him.
Yeah, there you go.
So I want to say when Alex Smith was at Utah that they had a play that was similar to that one.
Okay.
And that on one of the plays, the tight end leaked out, and Alex just threw the ball to him. And Urban was like, wait, what?
Oh, I remember what you're talking about.
And he's like, we should just do that more.
You turned me on to this book years ago, Blood, Sweat, and Chalk by Tim Layden.
If you're a football fan, man, and you can find, because I think it's been out of print for a little while.
Find it.
It is my favorite football book. It's called
cool.
Blood, Sweat, and Chalk. It is amazing.
It is amazing. It just like talks about how one scheme led to another and led to another, and like how people stole from each other and took it forward. But it also reminds me of, like, I mean, it's everything, man. It's life, it's music. My brother always used to talk about, like, because we're doing a funk band and we'd be listening to Parliament or Funkadelic or Little Feet or all this stuff, and he'd be like, I don't want to take too, or I'd say, I don't want to take too much from that. He said, hey, if you steal from the best, okay? Make sure you steal from the best, which
He's
is
right.
really solid advice, and actually works very well in the football set.
Oh,
steal from the best.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
Like, just look at what Andy Reid and the Chiefs are putting out there every week. And then someone's like, wait, we could maybe do that.
Steal from the best.
Or some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll try and find the clip tonight, and then we could play it tomorrow and check it. But yeah, okay. I love seeing stuff like that where the design matches the skills of the people involved.
Totally dig it. Totally dig it. All right, this is long, but we should hear it, because we haven't heard Shane Waldron comment on how he didn't have a first 15 plays and that whole kerfuffle where players had to go to him and say, can we have a first 15 like everywhere else we've been? And then he gave it to him, and that all works with communication. But let's hear Shane Waldron's spin on how that all went down.
I Pat explained to us that it was like right after the Jacksonville game that you organized the opening plays for the players, like putting them in order. Can you explain kind of like what that process was like and the impetus to do that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been different places. I've been different orders of how you present the openers, whether, you know, for me, it had been priority calls where you have a group of plays on runs and passes. And then really the focus there was more on how we're communicating it to the players on that. Still a very similar process in terms of going over those, walking through those on the Saturday night. But it was really good just overall, you know, coming out of that week where we talked about that a little bit more, just as important was of the openers was the in-game communication, some of the other different things that we were doing, and really just honing in on, you know, people coming from a lot of different places, how we see them, how we want to verbalize and communicate, you know, what we're looking at each week. And so, you know, that was one of the details that came out of that, but there was a lot of things, and every week, you know, I had a chance to talk with some guys yesterday as well, and just goes back to that constant communication, and every single week looking to see, you know, where can we improve as coaches, where can we improve as players to get a better operation going.
Shane, how valuable has it been for you to be willing to adjust when you spend all offseason planning the offense and then get into the games and say, okay, I have to be willing to be flexible?
Sure, I think that's the beauty of football is that, you know, every week, every game it's a week to week business, it's a week to week situation. So the ability to adapt and adjust and overcome, whether it's adversities that are happening, whether it's something that we want to tweak schematically, whether it's how we're interacting with guys, I think that's where it's always unique. And there's no one situation that's going to remain the same throughout the course of a season. Each year is its own individual year. Each player that you deal with or person that you come into contact with, you know, is you know, has a different situation when they walk out of the building. So I think adaptability, ability to adjust, ability to communicate is something that's going to be always important in football, and that really leads to in-game where, you know, the most important time to be able to adjust and adapt in a situation throughout the course of the game and not wait until it's too late.
And when you talk about the in-game communication evolving, what changes or what things did you do to tailor that?
Yeah, I think just the, you know, the drive ends and just being in that, you know, let's let everyone decompress for a sec, go through the drive. A lot of things that we've done in the past, stuff that we've talked about, but like everything, just focusing on the detail of it and how we're going to do it and the consistency of it and the consistency in which we go about that process. And I think, you know, the great thing from the player side is seeing how, you know, willing they were. You know, there's two-way communication on all these things, and seeing just that intentionality of, okay, here's how we're doing it. Okay, we got it. And let's keep building upon, you know, how we're interacting and how we're doing it.
What was your input on how they wanted to do it?
In terms of that?
Game communication
part. Yeah, well, this is more of coaches talking to the players. Again, there's, you know, two-way conversations, all these, and just more getting on the same page of, hey, let's let everyone decompress. Let's go ahead and have a chance as coaches to go through it, take a look at the surfaces, and really similar processes, but more, like I said, honing in on that process so that way we have a good, consistent situation between every single drive.
Okay, fine. Look, he needed them badly. And I'm glad that they went to him and they fixed it. And I hope to God it stays fixed and they keep talking and giving him input, because I think he needs it as an organizer and a leader. Let me just say, when you said, as a tease for the segment, one of the coordinators has really turned into my favorite guy to listen to, I knew it wasn't this guy. Okay? I knew it. There's just... he is not inspiring. He doesn't make you feel like he is a strong and solid and on top of it leader and delegator and communicator.
But if he listens, I'm cool with it.
He better, and I'm glad that he is. But, you know, you as the mayor of Worrytown, like I didn't buy property, but the property that I'm renting in Concernville has posters of Shane Waldron on the wall.
No, that makes sense. I totally get that. Why don't we take a break? Because we need to talk to our guy, and people are going to be so happy when his face pops up on the screen here. We'll ask Jared Payton about a whole bunch of stuff, including LeBron and Bronny being on the floor at the same time. We will get his thoughts on all of that.
Hey, look at that. You're doing it yourself. That's right. It was my bad.
Coming up next, they're here awesome. On The Score.